open with just a little bit of a discussion about our Christian benevolence here. We know that there is authority given to show benevolence towards Christians and to those in need. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, we read, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." And 1 Timothy, how did we get to the invitation already? There we go. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, we read that those are rich, who are rich, are commanded to be rich in good works, to do good, to be ready to give, and be willing to share. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, Jesus himself tells us that what we do towards our brethren in need in physical ways is what we actually are doing toward Jesus himself. And the parable of the Good Samaritan gives us the idea that we are to share our resources, those resources which God has blessed us with, not only with the church, but with anyone who is in need. We talked a couple of weeks ago about stewardship, and we learned that it is God's part to be the creator of every good and perfect thing. It is God's part to be the owner. When God created the earth, he did not give those things to man, but he simply put us in charge to be over dominion of the beasts of the field and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. We are stewards of those resources that God has blessed us with. And we know that God is the provider as well of every good and perfect gift. God has promised to meet our needs as we are faithful. And we know that our part is to be a good steward, a good manager of those things that God has blessed us with. And that goes with our lives, our time, and our resources, of course. The meaning of benevolence is the disposition to do good, kindliness, any act of kindness. And certainly this is one of the areas that God has always required of his people. Even in the Old Testament, in the law there, the people of Israel were required to be a benevolent people. God did not even allow his people to charge interest in Leviticus 25 and 36. When anyone harvested his vineyard, he was not to gather every grape, but he was to leave the corners of his field for the poor, and for any that fell to the ground was to be left for the poor and for the stranger. God expected not only that his people would offer to him the first fruits, he was also to honor the Lord's claim upon harvest by generously sharing with the needy. In the New Testament, Christians are encouraged to care for the poor as well. When Jesus came into the home of Zacchaeus to eat with him, we see a great change that took place in this man. But Zacchaeus, presenting himself before Jesus, said, "Master, half my goods I will give to the poor, and if in anything I have wronged any man, I will restore fourfold." That is Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus promised to correct any wrong he had done by giving fourfold back to them, and he would give one half of all he had to the poor. But it is in the story of the Good Samaritan, perhaps, that Jesus himself shows us that we need to lend a hand to all those in need. I'll be reading from Luke, the 10th chapter, starting in verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. This, perhaps, is the spirit in which the Northeast Church of Christ became involved with the Church of Christ Home for the Aged, back, as Joe mentioned, over 50 years ago, back when the original home in Ferndale had become a larger home up in the little village of Romeo, quite a ways north of here. This church was heavily involved to the point that in 1970, the Northeast Church of Christ took over oversight of that nursing home, and it became a huge work of mercy and a huge work of service for this congregation. Every Sunday, groups of people would drive up there after morning worship. They would clean. They would visit. There was a ladies' group here that did lap robes for the elderly out there. There was just a huge involvement there. I was going through some of our old annual reports yesterday, and I want to read a couple of excerpts from these, and then I'll turn things over to our friends from the Care Center here. In the 1974 version of our annual report, it reads, the Church of Christ Home for the Aged is a 29-bed nursing home operated by the Churches of Christ with specific oversight given to the Northeast congregation. The home is licensed by the state of Michigan as a basic nursing home and must meet the standards set by the county, state, and federal governments. In July 1974, we began our fourth year of operation under the direction of Northeast Church of Christ. The board of directors are Ross Bateman, president, Bob Wilson, vice president, Lewis Elliott, secretary, Robert Parks, treasurer, David Wallace, Jack Loftus, and Jim Langford. Each weekday morning, prior to breakfast, Brother Burnham leads in a Christian devotional. Midweek Bible study is scheduled for Thursday evenings at 6:30, and each Sunday afternoon, different congregations conduct a worship service at the home. At the present time, we have two different youth groups from Michigan Christian College who come to conduct worship services on weekday evenings. Each group comes once a month, and we are grateful for these young people and their concern for our residents. There has been a lot of activity during the year in regard to a new 130-bed nursing home, which is to be located on 4 acres in the northwest corner of our 15-mile road property. At this time, the previous annual report, or at the time of the previous annual report, a feasibility report had just been sent to the governmental agencies. Moving on to the 1976 version, well, actually, I'll skip that one for the sake of time. But let me read this article as well. This was a challenging year for the Care Center. Challenges confronted us all year, but our staff support from the Brotherhood met each problem squarely. And by all accounts, this must be considered a very successful year. This year, we received our 640th admission to the Care Center. This represents a lot of tender, loving care. Not only have we been recognized at a place where a warm, home-type atmosphere exists, but our annual inspection by the health department found no deficiencies in any areas of our nursing facility. Our challenge continues to be to provide quality care on a very limited Medicaid reimbursement rate. We must aggressively seek contributions from churches and individuals to help reduce our operating deficit. Another major challenge is to find and retain competent workers. Each year, we find fewer people seeking work in the nursing home. Recruiting and retaining good employees has become a major problem. On March 12th, Care Center Sunday was held at Northeast. An emotionally moving slide presentation during the worship hour was shown, and each person's heart was touched. The response to help support our ministry to the aged was overwhelming. After the commitment cards were collected and tallied, over $18,000 was committed in support for our care center. This great response again shows the dedication and generosity of God's people at Northeast. This article was written in 1989, but it could very well be written today. We still are challenged with providing quality, loving care on a very tight budget, and it is still so important for the Churches of Christ to support this mission. I've been blessed since July, as most of you know, to be working out at the Care Center as campus minister, so I see firsthand what goes on there each and every day. I would say I've never seen a finer group of employees and staff working so hard to get things done correctly, to get things done lovingly. You know, each one of us wears a name tag each day, and not only is our picture on there, but there are a couple of other things we wear. One lists our mission statement and our vision statement, and the vision statement of the Church of Christ Care Community is, we glorify God and serve Jesus by being a recognized provider of quality senior services in our community. And of our core values, the core value of compassion reads, we care with our hands as our job, but caring with our hearts is our life. We have with us this morning David Stewart, our CEO at the Care Center, and Doug Edwards, our Director of Philanthropy there. David's been with us since just before COVID came along. What a time to start a job. He came as our interim director, and he should talk to Vicki, who started as our interim secretary about 21 years ago, right, Vicki? And is still our secretary today. That interim word is dangerous. But I want each of these gentlemen to spend some time this morning telling you a little bit about themselves and also about the work at the Care Center, just to remind us what an important work it is, what a valuable presence it is in the community. It's not like the old days where we can fill the beds with Church of Christ members, where we can fill our staff with Church of Christ members. That just isn't feasible anymore. But I have had the wonderful opportunity to minister to both members and non-members of the church, to work with members and non-members of the church as well. And I can only tell you that working with assisted living, with independent living, and with the rehab and nursing center out there has just been a true blessing, a ministry, an answer to prayer, really. And I'm thankful to be able to be out there. But without further ado, let me invite David Stewart, our CEO, up to take the podium. Willis, would you put the Church of Christ on?
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is David Stewart. Bill, thank you for the background. That was really, really interesting to hear that the industry that we're in, the ministry we're in, hasn't changed in over 40 years. I'm from Nashville. I came up here to serve as an interim CEO. The year I got here, it was 2019 in the summer, as Bill said, just before COVID. And I didn't even realize Church of Christ was in the north. I thought, I grew up in the church. I went to Union Avenue Church of Christ in Memphis, Tennessee, growing up with my family. And I attended what was called junior high back in the day to high school at Harding Academy, which is on the campus of the Harding College or Harding University Graduate School of Religion in Memphis, which was just a few miles from where I grew up. And I had my family, many of my family are still members of the church. I got married to my high school sweetheart, Cheryl. We were at Harding Academy together. We got married right after graduation, just about. So we're in our 43rd year of marriage this year. We have three children, one grandson, and we're very, very blessed. The church not only taught me so many things, it informed me and it molded me. And so I had this opportunity to come up here, and I thought, certainly it's not the same Church of Christ I grew up in and attended school. That can't be the same. But like so many things in Detroit area, and Michigan area, this part of the world, a lot of culture has migrated from the south to the north, and it feels very home-like here. I thought I would be, the interim arrangement we had was about 3 months. That's what we were looking for. But we stepped into a situation that was very unique. I've got 30 years in the senior living business, and for-profit and non-profit, and immediately some things stood out to me about Church of Christ Care Community. One is we had some employees that had been there 30, 40 years. Some of them were direct caregivers. That's unheard of. I've never seen that anywhere else in the country, and I've had the privilege to work all over the country in this industry. And so there really are some truly committed people there. But what I'm going to share with you is really kind of the way God has touched my life through this ministry and through the people that serve this ministry. And I want to tell you that it's been profound in my life. I don't think it's typical to be able to stay away from your family as long as I have. But I have felt the love of Jesus in serving and being able to continue the ministry that so many people have worked so hard that came before me. It's an honor and it's a privilege, but make no mistake about it, we have really gone through some very difficult times, and God has directed us at each step of the way. Some of those times were brought on before COVID. When I landed in the summer of 2019, we were on our second administrator of the nursing home that year. She later left at the end of that year in December of 2019. And we are now about to have our fifth administrator at the nursing home just in the time I've been here. Our current administrator is retiring, and we're about to bring a new one on. So you have leadership at the top turning over like that. It's very difficult to operate. We are a business, we're an operation, and we are a ministry all in one. We're faced with all sorts of ethical, moral issues. We have an employee that doesn't show up to work. Well, why aren't they showing up for work? Do they have something going on in their lives? There's lots of opportunities for us, and Bill knows this, to be able to minister to those people. Or they just not show up, you know. So we really are able to work with staff, and if they have something going on in their lives, we will surround them, we will lift them up, we will pray for them, we will try to help them any way we can. But at the other end, there's people that are not necessarily having anything going on in their life. So we have to deal with that. So we have an HR department. There's a resident who doesn't pay. Is that because they don't have the money or because they just don't want to pay the money they have? Those are the kinds of challenges that we deal with in this ministry. And those are tough issues. But the fact that we're a ministry, we're able to really use compassion, follow our mission, vision, and values to care for those people. The other really important position is in a nursing home is called the director of nursing. It's really what I say is the most critical position on the campus, far more important than mine or even the administrators. And that's the chief nursing clinical officer and is responsible for a lot of you heard Brother Bill talking about some of the compliance things in that past report. Those are still very much an issue. The nursing home industry is the second most regulated industry in our country, right behind nuclear power. And, you know, during the pandemic, they came out with more regulation, and we weren't able to deal with it. We were not set up to deal with that pandemic. But anyway, on the director of nursing position, we're now on our sixth DON since I've been here. So I felt really strongly and moved to try to stay and bring some stability in any little way I could. And again, it's just been profound in my spiritual life to come alongside such wonderful people who are truly committed. And it's been an honor and a privilege to be a part of such an organization. And it's an honor to be here with this congregation who I've heard so much about. Got to meet Mike a little while ago, Mike Cirilla, and seen his name all over the place. And I'm reminded by some of the the older employees that, well, you're no Mike Cirilla. So I get reminded of that from time to time. It keeps me humble. We have experienced a great deal of turnover. Our survey compliance has been poor as a result of that. We just really found out that we're not prepared for a global pandemic. We did not have the resiliency built into our operation to deal with a global pandemic. I don't know too many organizations that have or are. So if you happen to hear anything, or you go out and you look at some of our reviews, you might see some negative reviews or hear some negative things. Give me a call if you have a question. Sometimes those things actually have happened. Sometimes they haven't. Sometimes they're just disgruntled customers. But we are doing our very best to rebuild and rebound. We've created some new roles, some administrative roles to provide oversight and guidance to the staff, because we're continually in this turnover position. So we've created some new programs, some new positions, so that we can do a better job of maintaining compliance. I think we've always done a good job of providing compassionate care, but that compliance piece is very important. Our assisted living has also been hit very hard. We started off the pandemic with, I think we'd gotten up to 80 people right before the pandemic hit, and we got down to 23 people. And, you know, each person represents an opportunity to provide ministry to, but we have to have a certain number of people, because just like many of you may have a mortgage, you have utility bills, you have food bills, the care community does as well, and we have to care for a certain number of people so that we can generate the revenue necessary to provide and pay those bills. We've lost millions and millions of dollars over the last several years, each year. Fortunately, as many of you are aware, there's been a number of government programs that, frankly, if we hadn't had, we wouldn't still be operating. Those programs have been really critical for us, as have, and maybe even more importantly, the prayers and the support that we've received from all the churches, particularly Northeast. It's really been a really interesting opportunity. I think Bill mentioned earlier that Doug and I have been going and visiting all the area churches, and it's just been a wonderful experience for me to visit and get to meet brothers and sisters in Christ, and particularly those that know about us, and some know more, some know less, and so we've been able to educate, inform, and help people understand what's going on. But this ministry has been was started in 1941, so we're doing our best to make it through this period that we're in. We're not the only ministry or senior living provider that's experiencing these things. There's just a lot of people that, for understandable reasons, stayed out of senior living during the pandemic as they sheltered in place. It's going to take a long time for us to rebound from this. One thing I can talk about a little more positively is our senior housing, our Section 8 housing. We have 52 units of senior housing there that stayed quite full. Those folks did suffer somewhat from the isolation because of the sheltering in place that occurred, and the remote work that occurred during the pandemic. But we have a wonderful program there now, and things are quite well in that part of our organization. That part of our operation is stayed full, and we have a waiting list. We do provide a preference for Church of Christ members, So if a vacancy is available, we do provide a preference for church members. So if you know anyone in search of that, it's a wonderful service that we provide. So again, I just want to reiterate what a privilege it is to be here to speak to you all and to be part of such a really wonderful organization. And I'm glad I've been able to offer a little bit of help along the way as we try to rebuild rebuild our operation and make things better for the future. Thank you.
Slides going, and I wish I had time to just go through the stories that each slide represents, but we'd have to take an extra half hour to share those slides with you, and I thought you would want the shorter version today. And first of all, before I get into what I want to share, I do want to thank you for several of you that came over to the Metro Church where I serve as an elder to be a part of the special series with Steve Ridgel. He was such a fascinating man and had wonderful stories to share. So thank you for those of you who came and supported that. Also the Praise and Harmony workshop with Keith Lancaster. That was another wonderful thing. I'm the vice president who leads our philanthropy program, and everybody always asks, what's philanthropy? Okay, it's fundraising, so that's the most important thing to know. Now, if you ask my wife, what does he do? She says, he's a beggar. So fortunately, I do not usually have to beg, but I'm very willing. Thank you, Northeast Elders, for letting David and myself come over today. You are such an important group. You're maybe smaller in some ways, but what you do is tremendous and is just great. And so, so we appreciate this opportunity to come today, and you've been such a generous and helpful congregation to the Church of Christ Care community over the years, and what Bill shared before is just so indicative. And through some of your previous elders that he also talked about, you were really a leader in the work. Your elders oversaw the work, and that was so important. Without the things that they did, we would not be who we are. And some of your current elders as well as former elders are also continuing to be involved today on the board. People like Mark Wilson, who is still our board chair after many years, and John Swantek, who just saw the other day. John and Joyce are such fabulous people, and of course Mike Messier, who is a current member, and those were some of the ones that have been involved for a long time. So you have been a consistent partner in our work. And, you know, I remember looking at the figures and seeing how much was coming from the Northeast Church and realizing that maybe you're not as large as you used to be. And I tell you, I did a lot of praying that number doesn't go down, because we need that support. So please keep it up as God blesses you. We just had so many people from this congregation involved, and that's another important element. I saw Gloria Cotty just a little while ago, and Gloria would bring over the Lutz kids, and they did some tremendous work there. And I just saw a few of the Lutz kids the other day, and we talked about Gloria. That's a wonderful thing. But over the years, they did so much. And Jill Mostek was our silent auction person this last steak and corn roast, which is, you support all of our events so well. Bowling, Byron, wow, what a bowling score. a bunch of good bowlers from here. And so bowling, steak and corn roast. I can't remember if we have golfers from here or not, but we probably do. We have you for everything else. But we're just so thankful for all of that. I want to share a brief scripture with you from Matthew 25:40. This is found in a longer passage of scripture about the judgment, dividing the sheep from the goats, etc. And in this short passage, Jesus is the king that's mentioned here. And so the scripture goes, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So keep that in mind as you do things for the care community and other places where you engage and here, of course. And when we think of the orphans and widows mentioned in James 1:27, these are the kind of people Jesus is talking about in this passage. So as you help the widows, the widowers that are a part of the care community, these are some of the people he's talking about here. People with special circumstances and who need our loving care. And this is what we are here to share with you today, with a focus on the elderly. The elderly in our culture are sometimes treated more like castaways than the beautiful people they truly are, and who should be treated with the best of care at the end of life.
Amen.
Precious people. We are now in our 82nd year. You said over 50, definitely over 50. There is no, so far as I know, tried to check this out. There's no other facility provided by members of Churches of Christ anywhere in the country that's 82 plus years old. Even in Dallas-Fort Worth, where there is a facility just a few years short of where we are, and they're about twice our size, but they went bankrupt a couple of years ago. Very sad. Now they're still operating. There are some ways that they've been able to continue to operate, not on the same level they were before, but they're still operating. But it's just tragic to lose a facility like that. So it does take a lot to maintain a place like we have. So 82 plus years old. We started in 1941, near the time of the Pearl Harbor attack, so there was a lot going on in our world, and yet they started this facility. It was a humble two-floor home with six widows. And then if you were watching the slides, the home to follow is the home as it looks today. But if you could just drive, I love driving by there. 1776 Troy Street in Ferndale. Still there today. It looks better than it did in 42 from the picture. And so it still exists, as does the beautiful Romeo campus that was started in the 50s. They moved to Romeo. And but it's overgrown today. It's not very, very beautiful today as it was back then. But they moved to the Clinton Township. There were a lot of reasons, but that's proved to be a great place to operate. And we have a wide array of offerings. There's a health care center with skilled nursing, and we offer rehab an excellent rehab service. We did the 52 units of unsubsidized apartments, which David mentioned, for independent living, and that stays full. That has been more challenging through COVID, but things are operating very well there at this time. So we added an assisted living facility in 2002, beautiful three-story building. We've had the hardest time keeping that one full, and that caused a lot of our financial consternation in these last few years with COVID. It's beginning to fill back up, but we've got a lot of work to do. We now care for around 190 to 200 on our campus, which is a lot of people, believe me, with a similar number of employees. We have three shifts of employees, so you can imagine when you have somewhere, I imagine we have 175 to 200, somewhere in there, employees, full and part-time, and so a lot of employees that we have to provide. Our peak number was around 250 before COVID hit, but we lost a large number of residents because of some moving to home care, because of the mandate. We had to, you know, close down to any visitors coming in, and so many things that we had to follow. So a lot of people moved to home care so that they have more flexibility there. And we had a number of deaths because we had to take the COVID residents, and we isolated them, but it still seemed to occur. But we're on the mend, even though it's still COVID keeps rearing its ugly head. So our care for residents is outstanding. Just hired Bill, as you know, and we're so grateful for his work. He's doing a fabulous job. I had to do some of the things that he is now doing before he came in. I was kind of filling in some things in between our two chaplains, and so, but he's doing a great job. We're calling him campus minister. And so Bill and I get together almost every day. He's on campus, so that's great. We have a lot of people that come in to lead our services. We have about eight churches, different churches that come in to do that. Today we're here basically to thank you for all you've done to support us. And we want to continue the great relationship we've enjoyed. Earlier this year, we had some significant concerns that we've talked about with COVID, and that put us almost on the path to destruction. But we launched a bridge plan. It was successful. We visited a bunch of churches mentioned by David, who responded generously. Individuals responded generously. One family helped us with a large private loan. We have a large loan that was with a Flagstar Bank, and things weren't looking good with that, so we decided for safety reasons we needed to get out of that, and we found a private family who did a loan of about $1.5 million to help us out. What a wonderful family. And so we had two estate plans that matured during that time. One person we had never heard of just came out of the woodwork, and so we're very thankful for that. Government came through with a significant grant money that we really needed to make things work. So we've just seen the hand of God working in all of these things. All of these things, and people are still supporting us generously. Filling the beds is the most important thing right now to become totally healthy again. So talk to your associates, if you know anybody that is looking for a place for faith care, this is a great place for them. So, so COVID's still around, but and we still need money flowing to make all of this stay solid. But if you're in a position to provide additional support at this time, may I share that we really need your help. And so I hope I don't begin to sound like I'm begging. We have gifting cards out on the display table. Other information, please take anything out there that you may want or need, including the pens that are out there. A gift at this time would be wonderful. You can go on our website, www.cofccc.org, or you can take a gift card, an envelope out there. You can write out a check today. Make it out to, you can still make it Church of Christ Care Center. That's what our name still is at the bank, which is important. But if you put community, that's good too. We're always praying for those future residents. And you're not far from the campus, and so maybe some of you can take advantage of that. So please let us know if you have a friend or a loved one. We have admissions people who would be delighted to assist you. Feel free to call and talk to someone about, you know, what are the costs and all the other details. So thank you for having us today. We really appreciate our time because, again, Northeast is a very special place for us. And so I want to end my time in prayer. And so let's go to God in prayer. Father, we are so grateful for your loving care. We're so grateful for 82 years of providing care for our elderly at the Church of Christ care community. What a wonderful privilege that's been. We're thankful for so many right here at Northeast who have been active participants over the years and that have supported our events and have given funding that has been so much needed. So, Father, thank you for what the Northeast congregation means to us. And, Father, we just pray for growth at this congregation. We pray that you would be with each member. We pray blessings on all of those who need your care at this time, for those who are out sick and have different situations, but please care for them. Thank you for bringing us together today to sing songs of praises to your great and holy name. So, Father, bless us as we leave today. We pray through Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you, David. As you heard, there's a lot of work being done. There's a lot more work to do, and we just ask for your prayers and any other help that you can give the care center would be appreciated. We do have worship services out there next Sunday at 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and if you haven't been out there yet to assist, let me encourage you to come out. It is such an encouragement to the residents, not only to have Church of Christ worship services right there at the assisted living building and at the nursing home, but also to be able to fellowship, Christian fellowship with those of us that come out. It really means the world to all of them. So we would welcome you to come out for that. We do what we can there at the care community for the physical well-being of those that stay there. But certainly as a congregation here, we are more about the spiritual well-being of every individual. And if you're here today and you are not in a good spiritual place, that you are not a child of God, we invite you to do something about that today. You know that the Bible tells us there are specific steps that must be taken for an individual to be saved. We know that we must hear the word of God in Romans 10 and 17, that we must believe and trust in Christ as the Son of God and as our Savior in John 8 and 24. We know that that belief must be to the point that we're willing to repent. We'd be willing to change our lives, to turn away from a life of sin and to a life toward Christ. And that repentance would lead us to public confession of our faith in Jesus Christ, and then baptism, immersion in water for the forgiveness of our sins, where we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have not done these things, but you are interested, you are willing, you understand what you must do, we're here to work with you today, and we can start that process today. For those of us that are saved, that have been through these steps, but that understand that our faith may be lacking, that there is something standing between us and God, again, we can pray with you, we can pray for you. Joe and I are both willing to do whatever we need to do to reunite you, to restore you to the family of God. At this time, we're going to have an invitation song. Willis, I need the song slides, please. And if there is anything that we can do for you today, we would invite your response as we stand and sing.